let's jump into another deep dive. Today, we're looking at something pretty interesting. It's the 2022 updates to spirometry interpretation standards.
Oh, yeah.
I bet a lot of you out there have done spirometry, blowing into that tube. It's a pretty common test. Helps doctors figure out how well your lungs are working, right?
Helps diagnose things like asthma and
Yeah.
COPD. Big stuff.
Exactly. But here's the thing, with these new standards that came out in 2022, some folks might actually get a totally different diagnosis than they would have before.
You got it.
And that, of course, could even change how they're treated.
Absolutely. Makes a big difference.
So we're going to really dig into this today and figure out what kind of impact these changes are having.
Should be interesting.
Definitely. We'll be referencing a 2025 multi-center study.
Okay.
It was published in Archivos de Bronconeumologia, and this study really gets into the nitty-gritty of how these standards are playing out in real life. Ready to dive in.
Let's do it.
So maybe we should start with the basics. What are some of the most significant changes? Like, what should people really know about these updated standards?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that there are four key changes from the 2005 standards.
Okay, so four main things to keep in mind.
Right. So first off, they're now recommending that doctors do lung volume assessments way earlier in the whole diagnostic process.
Interesting. So before they would waited longer to do those kinds of assessments.
Yeah, typically.
Okay. What's the second big change?
Second, there's this whole new category. They're calling it a mixed diagnostic category.
Mixed.
Yeah, so it's for people who, when you look at their lung function, they have signs of both obstructive and restrictive pattern.
Ah, I see. So it's not always just one or the other. You can have a bit of both going on.
Exactly.
Okay, it makes sense. What about the third change?
Well, the third one is that they've totally simplified the severity categories.
Simplified, how so?
So they went from five levels of severity down to just three.
Wow, that's quite a change.
It is. And then the fourth big change is how they determine whether someone has a positive response to bronchodilators, those medications that help open up the airways. They've changed how they define what positive actually means.
Got it. So those are the four big things: lung volume assessments earlier, a new mixed category, simplified severity levels, and a new way to look at responses to bronchodilators.
Yep, that's it.
Lots to unpack there. But let's start with the first change you mentioned, the lung volume assessments happening earlier. What kind of impact could that have?
Well, it's really interesting because by doing those assessments earlier, it's likely that more people are going to need more complex tests.
Okay. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, more complex tests can be great, right? They can give you
Yeah.
a much more accurate diagnosis.
Sure, you get a clearer picture of what's really going on.
But of course, more tests could mean higher healthcare costs.
Yeah, that's a really important point. There's always a balance to strike. We want to be thorough and catch things early. But we also have to consider the practical side of things, like cost and accessibility for everyone.
Exactly. It's a complicated issue.
Definitely. But it's a discussion worth having, especially as these new standards are implemented.
No doubt about it.
All right, let's move on to the next big change then. This new mixed diagnostic category. What exactly does that mean for patients? Can you give us an example of how this might play out in a real life situation?
Sure. So imagine you have someone who, based on their spirometry results from a few years ago, was diagnosed with asthma, right? Pretty straightforward.
Okay, yeah, seems like a common scenario.
Totally. But now, with these new standards, let's say the doctor does a lung volume assessment. Remember, they're doing those earlier now. And they find evidence of some restriction in the lungs, too.
Hold on, so they're seeing signs of both restriction and obstruction. That's where this mixed category comes in, right?
You got it. And that could suggest that there's something else going on, maybe another underlying condition alongside the asthma, which might need a different kind of treatment approach.
So it's not just a simple case of you have asthma or you have COPD.
Nope, not always. The lungs are complex.
For sure. Our bodies are full of surprises sometimes.
They are.
All right, moving on to the third change you mentioned, simplifying the severity categories. Going from five down to three levels seems like a pretty big shift. I'm curious about what went into that decision. Was there any concern about potentially losing important information by simplifying things?
Good question. The way they've done it is by using what we call Z-scores.
Z-scores.
Yeah. Think of it like this. Imagine you have a graph, right? And on that graph, you've got everyone's lung function plotted out.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
So the Z-score basically tells you where you fall on that graph compared to the average for someone your age.
Ah, I see. So it's like a personalized benchmark. It takes into account your age when assessing how severe your lung function is.
Exactly. And that makes it a more standardized way to look at things.
Interesting. So it sounds like this new system with Z scores is more statistically sound, but I'm guessing it's not without its complexities.
Right. One of the things they've noticed is that with this new system, you get different severity classifications across different age groups.
So someone younger and someone older could have the same lung function, but it might be considered more or less severe based on their age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because of those Z scores, adjusting for the fact that lung function naturally declines as we age, you know?
Right. So what you're saying is, under these new standards, older folks might end up with a milder severity classification,
Yeah.
while younger people might actually end up with a higher severity classification, even if their lung function is the same at that moment.
Precisely.
Wow. I can already see how this could lead to some pretty significant shifts in how doctors view disease progression in different age
Oh,
groups.
yeah, for sure. It's a really important consideration, and researchers are still figuring out all the implications.
It definitely raises a lot of questions, like, could this lead to earlier interventions for younger people who might have been overlooked under the old system? Fascinating stuff.
Definitely a lot to think about.
It is. But before we get too deep into that rabbit hole, let's talk about that last big change, the new way of determining a positive response to bronchodilators. Just to recap for our listeners, remind us again what bronchodilators are and why this change matters.
Sure. So bronchodilators, they're medications that basically relax the muscles in your airways and help open them up.
Right, so if you have asthma or COPD, for example, these medications can make it easier to breathe.
Exactly. And the reason this change to how they define a positive response is so important is because it can really impact whether someone is prescribed those medications or not. Like it can change their whole treatment plan.
Got it. So how exactly did they change the definition, and what impact did that have on the study you mentioned?
Well, in this study, they looked at a huge number of spirometry tests, over 79,000 of them, and they compared the results using both the old standards from 2005 and the new ones from 2022.
Okay, so they were able to directly compare how the different standards would classify the same set of tests.
Yep. And what they found was pretty interesting. With this new definition for bronchodilator response, over 12%, like 12.3% to be exact, of the people who would have been classified as responders under the old standards were now considered non-responders.
Whoa, hold on. So that means a good chunk of folks who were previously thought to benefit from bronchodilators might now be told they don't need them. That's a big deal.
It is. And you know what's even more interesting? It goes the other way, too. About 4% of the people who wouldn't have been considered responders under the old standards were now classified as responders using the new criteria.
Wow, so it's not just about potentially taking people off medications. It could also mean starting medications for some people who weren't getting them before. That's a lot of potential changes in treatment strategies.
For sure. It really underscores how significant these new standards are.
It does. This is some pretty compelling stuff.
Absolutely. And we're just scratching the surface here. There's a lot more to explore.
I bet. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll delve deeper into what these findings mean for you and your lung health. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
So it sounds like these new standards could lead to some big changes in how bronchodilators are used,
Right.
potentially starting them for some people and stopping them for others. Did the study give any clues about why we're seeing these shifts in who's considered a responder?
Yeah, it's really interesting. What they found is that this new definition for a positive response seems to be really good at identifying responses in very young and very old patients.
Interesting. So age plays a big role.
It seems so. And they also saw it more among people with milder spirometric impairments.
So age and the initial severity of the lung issues are both factors.
Yeah, seems like it.
So this all sounds pretty complex. I'm
Yeah.
sure our listeners are wondering what this means for them. Like, if someone had a spirometry test a while back using the old standards, should they rush out and get another one now?
That's a great question. But it's important to remember that these standards are really just guidelines.
Okay, so they're not like hard and fast rules.
Right. They're definitely valuable information, but your doctor is always going to look at your whole medical history, all your symptoms, you know, your individual situation.
So it's not necessarily about running to get retested.
Right.
It's more about talking to your doctor.
Exactly. Having a conversation about what these changes might mean for you specifically.
I like that. It's about having an informed conversation, being proactive about your health.
That's the key. These updates are just another piece of information.
Another tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, exactly. And it can help you and your doctor make the best decisions for your care.
Knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely.
So, are there any other big takeaways from this study that you think are important for people to know? Anything else our listeners should be thinking about when it comes to their lung health?
Well, one thing I really want to emphasize is that spirometry is just one piece of the puzzle.
Right. It's not the be all and end all.
Exactly. It's a valuable tool, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
What else should people keep in mind?
Well, it's always a good idea to be proactive. Like if you have any risk factors for lung disease.
Like what kind of risk factors?
Well, things like smoking, obviously,
Okay,
or
yeah.
exposure to environmental pollutants.
Right, things like air pollution.
Exactly. Or even if you have a family history of respiratory problems.
Yeah.
If any of that applies to you, it's worth talking to your doctor about getting a spirometry test.
That makes sense. And I guess even if you don't have any obvious risk factors, it's still important to pay attention to your body, right?
For sure. Be aware of any changes in your breathing. Like if you start feeling short of breath.
Or wheezing.
Yeah. Or if you have a cough that just won't quit, Don't ignore those things.
Always better to get checked out.
Definitely. Early detection is so important when it comes to managing lung conditions.
Absolutely. So to wrap this all up, it seems like these new spirometry standards are a pretty big deal.
They are.
They might seem kind of technical and complicated, but they could really change how lung conditions are diagnosed and treated.
Yeah, they really could. And the key is to stay informed.
Yeah.
Have open conversations with your healthcare providers.
And be proactive about your health.
You got it.
I love that. It's all about taking charge of your health and being your own advocate. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of spirometry and these new interpretation standards, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember? What's the main message you want them to walk away with?
I'd say the most important thing is to remember that your lung health is really in your hands. Be informed, be proactive, don't hesitate to ask questions.
I love that. It's so easy to feel like things are out of our control when it comes to our health.
Yeah.
But being informed and asking questions, that's powerful. It puts us back in the driver's seat.
Definitely. You're in control.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive, to say the least. I mean, who knew that something as, I don't know, seemingly basic as a breathing test
Yeah.
could have such a big impact on how we think about lung health and how it's treated?
It's wild.
It is. And it just goes to show how important it is to stay current. Like, medicine is constantly evolving.
It is always changing,
Yeah.
always new research.
Exactly. And it's up to all of us to stay informed about the latest advancements, to be engaged patients.
Right. Ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to push back if something doesn't feel right.
Absolutely. Advocate for your own well-being. So we've covered a lot of ground today talking about these new spirometry standards, the impact they're having, and what it all means for you. As we wrap up, any final thoughts for our listeners out there?
I just say, knowledge is power. The more you know about your health, the better equipped you are to make good decisions. So stay curious, stay informed, and keep breathing easy.
Love it. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep breathing easy. Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.